Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This was not like my friend. I am having one of the busiest weeks of my life. And in the midst of the busyness in organizing Black Entrepreneurs Day, my world is turning upside down. I got to give Amazon their money back. I'm protesting at Target headquarters. I got to find a sponsor. There's a snowstorm coming on the day of my event. The House DFL is not at the Capitol and can't meet with the business owners who are coming to meet with their DFL representatives because they are from heavily Democratic districts. And so typically on a week like that, I get a note from Christy Peel. Says, hey, girl, I see you out there. Keep going. Hey, girl, you can do it. Anything's possible. Hey, Superwoman, make sure your cape is out. And I did not hear from Christy. And then all of a sudden, I'm going through my Facebook timeline. And I see that it's World Cancer Day. And I see Christy with a post and a picture of her son, my nephew, Alec. And I'm like, what is going on? Why is Alec's picture next to the symbol for World Cancer Day? And why is this on Christy's timeline? And what in the hell is going on? I couldn't even read the post. I started shaking. My nerves got bad. I couldn't even now thinking about it. I'm having a hard time forming words. And so I picked up the phone and called my friend. And she tells me that the reason that she has been absent is because her son has cancer. And she is on the phone today, joining me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Girl, when I tell you I have been praying for you, I have been praying for you.
Oh, I know you have. I know you have. It's nice to be on your show. It's been like you kept asking me and my... You know, my team would be like, sorry, she can't. And I just wasn't quite ready. You know, we weren't quite ready yet to talk about what was going on. And so I felt so awful. So thank you for accepting my apology that your birthday and all these things happened. And I couldn't cheer for you because I had my own, you know, I have my own fight happening at home.
Okay, so tell us about the fight, because I know a lot of people like me who follow you, who listen to your podcast, who feel like they know you because you are so instrumental, whether they look forward to your motivational messages on your Instagram, they listen to your podcast, they see you on TV talking about how to brand and market, and or they've hired you. Hired your company to help their company for crisis management or to coach some of their executives for TV interviews, any number of those things. You have so connected to so many people and organizations in town that your absence was definitely felt and noticed, especially when people call you. You hardly ever say no. So when you told me no 3 weeks in a row, I start thinking like, do I owe her some money? Is there something going on? Why is my friend avoiding me? And then you call a job and you're not there and you're like, what the hell is going on? And then, you know, all of a sudden you realize you've got a battle of your own. You are in a fight for your child. And so talk to us, back us all the way up. What in the hell is going on over there, girl?
I know. You know, we were on vacation over the holiday and the first of the year after a really fun New Year's in Mexico with my two boys and my husband. We woke up and Alec, who's 17, he's a senior in high school, a Bethel University football commit, wakes up and says, "Boy, my leg hurts. I think I must have had a spasm or something in the night." And so as we were on vacation, it kept getting worse and it kept getting worse. So when we got home, we took him in. And after a week of thinking that it was, you know, an abscess and infection, it turns out that it is Ewing sarcoma, which is a rare type of cancer that often hits young men. However, it's very rare. And how it showed up in Alec has happened 50 times ever. So it's
wait, stop, slow down.
Yeah.
What the cancer that showed up in him has happened only in 50 other times?
So it's Ewing sarcoma, which is a kind of cancer that on its own is rare. It's in the kind of bone cancer family. It often shows up as a tumor, a soft tissue tumor, or it shows up in a bone. And with Alec, it showed up in the membrane next to his femur. And that's really rare. So that's what's only happened 50 times. Generally, there's about 200, 250 cases of Ewing sarcoma annually. So it by mm-hmm. itself is pretty rare. And what we found, Shaletta, is that God bless the healthcare workers and where we live and the experts around this kind of cancer. We caught it early. It's treatable. He can 100% recover from this. It's not going to be an easy road to get there, but we're down for the fight. He is an incredible young man with a positive attitude, and our community, we attend Providence Academy. The school has been amazing. Our church has been amazing. Our friends have been amazing. So we feel really supported and positive about all of it. And yet, no one wants it. Like, I'm here for the assignment. I feel privileged to be his mother. My husband and I are united. Our older son, we got this. And yet, nobody wants to have a doctor walk into a room, have them sit down and say, "I've got bad news."
Okay, you have to talk to me about how you go from, "Oh, my leg is hurting," to a healthcare worker being so astute and so wise and so conscious and so thorough that they do what kind of testing to go from "my leg hurts" to "you've got cancer?
Yeah. So when they took out, they thought it was an abscess. They thought maybe he had, you know, staph or strep or some kind of infection that, you know, ended up weirdly going to his leg, which isn't that uncommon. So they took it out and they were they were culturing it to see what would grow. So then they would know how to best, you know, give him antibiotics. And, you know, some wonderful pathologist at Children's wasn't getting it to grow and kept testing and stained the, you know, again, I'm not a medical person. So if you're a doctor, don't DM me. I'm sure I'm getting all the language wrong, but you know what I mean? They stained it, found cells in there. So they found live and dead cancer cells in what they thought was an abscess. And they knew that the cells were Ewing sarcoma. And then they started, you know, going down the path and we did, you know, weeks and weeks of tests and all sorts of things to make sure that we knew, you know, was it localized, which praise God it was, and how do we treat it and how do we get moving? So he's wrapped up week one of chemo. So he's got chemo, you know, months of chemo and then surgery, probably radiation and then more chemo. So his college, all these plans are just we're hitting pause on them. We're just going to hit a little delay on the dream and we'll regroup and we'll get past it.
What is his countenance like?
You know, I put out a podcast with him in early January. We recorded this thing in December. My podcast is called Flip Your Script, and we were going to take a different direction with the podcast after 5 years. You were on that podcast. It was an amazing run. And it's about how people can change their stories in mm-hmm. the midst of something unexpected, right? So I wanted Alec to be the last guest. And my other mm-hmm. son, Eli, he was also on that because Alec, last winter, totally unrelated to this, blew out his knee in a basketball game and had a really, you know, significant journey to healing and had just gotten cleared to practice sports again in December, right before we found this cancer diagnosis. So before after he was, you know, cleared and before the cancer diagnosis, we recorded a podcast because we learned so many things about what to say to people who are injured and how he is completely changed. The trajectory of his life had changed from that knee injury. And he goes through that story and it's pretty powerful, especially from a young man. And so he agreed to do this podcast. I didn't coach him. He came up, he shared his story bravely and we put it out there. And so you can hear his countenance there, but it's, if anyone can do it, it's him. I'm blown away by his strength and his determination and his positivity. And even, you know, thinking about he's going to lose his hair, right? And there are options to positivity. And even, you know, thinking about he's going to lose his hair, right? And there are options to shave, not shave. And he said, I'm going to shave it. I'm going to be bald and I'm not going to cover it up because there are other little kids that I see in the cancer floors who I don't want them to think that there's anything shameful in having cancer. So that's who he is. And that's how he's showing up for this.
How's his... in your tribe, how's your village? How are you guys getting support? Because, you know, especially in this situation, you can't isolate. And I'm so glad that you're sharing this with me. I'm so glad that he's allowing this because there's another parent who's going through it. People are going to want to support. You know, there is a child who's listening right now who is experiencing this, or maybe a friend of theirs is as well. You know, when you start thinking about cancer, the last thing you think about is your college freshman. You know, you don't think of, you know, somebody who's 18, 19, 20 years old, but here we are.
Yeah. You know, we feel like, and he said this from the beginning, we feel like we can use this to help other people. And you're going to have me back on in a few months and we're going to unveil how we're going to help other people. But we really feel like we do have connections and people who can help make this easier for someone else. And even as I show up in different places as his mother, I think, boy, we can make a difference here and we could help a family over here. So that's coming. Mm-hmm. And we're starting to make the plans. And a lot of families walk through this. A lot of families walk through this without insurance, without speaking the same language as the doctors. Mm. A lot of people walk through it without family in town, without friends in town. And I got to tell you, Shaletta, our people have shown up and it's remarkable the stuff that's dropped off at our house, the letters that Alec gets, the people who send him motivational emails, the people who are praying. It is overwhelming how incredible people are.
Ooh, honey, I just know that we are with you and praying for you and Alec and your whole entire family, your husband and Eli and you know, I know how he loves his grandparents and how much they love him. And so I know this is tugging at the heartstrings of so many people who are close to him and to you, your entire team over at Media Mindfield. You know, you all have all of our love and support.
Thank you. That means a ton. And, you know, we are in the business of sharing stories. And I've also in the last week run across people who are in my circles who are fighting their own cancer battles who I didn't know that. They had never said anything to anyone and they're doing it in private. And
in private,
we don't love that this is our story, but we do feel like by sharing it, we can help other people. And folks who have been down this path who are survivors, 16 years out, there's an NFL Super Bowl winner, Mark Herzlich, who has a book out. I encourage you to pick it up. He writes a whole book about it and he's mentoring Alec through this. There's a young man from Minnesota who's 6 months out of this thing, who's in college now, who's mentoring Alec through this. So thank goodness those people shared their story and went public so that Alec can learn from them. And when we're on the other side of this, we can help other people.
Mm, yeah. Okay. Now, I have been trying to get you to come on the show for the past 3 weeks for a reason. So you're going to have to hold on with me after the commercial break because I need to find out from you why the hell they are putting out the Super Bowl commercials before the Super Bowl. Christy, it used to be that you would wait for the Super Bowl so you could see the Super Bowl commercials. They are leaking the Super Bowl commercials on social media on purpose. The actual companies are putting out the Super Bowl commercials. People are commenting on them. I don't understand. So now what's my motivation to stick around and watch the Super Bowl if you're going to show me the dang commercials on Facebook? I'm going to check with Christy Peel on that when we come back.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
I reminisce to back when I was on the assignments desk at KSTP before I had babies and a whole bunch of bills. I was working for Hubbard Broadcasting and being sassy with all my reporters, including the one and only Christy Peel, who is joining me. And she is here today on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And it's so exciting to have her here. And I tell you what was exciting, Christy, was that time you broke this big, huge, giant story. And you were all on Good Morning America. I think it was it you and Tom Hauser, or you and Joe Caffrey? I can't even remember what story it was because I'm getting old and I got a bunch of babies. And when they came out of my uterus and they clipped the umbilical cord, my brain cells got clipped with it. But I just remember the whole newsroom being locked to the TV and you were flying out. What story was that? That was so exciting.
Oh, right. That was when the young men were drowning. It was terrible, sad story. But young men in Minnesota and around the country were showing up drowned at different college campuses. And it happened several times in Minnesota. And there was potentially a connection and some detectives got involved. And the families trusted us with their stories and we broke that. So that was a long time ago. But when you said you were being sassy in the newsroom, yes. That is true. I can confirm.
Girl, I just remember being so impressed by all of the work that you did and how you balanced that. And now you're balancing business. You've got Media Mindfield, one of the top and lead public relations firm here in the Twin Cities with clients in Minnesota, as well as throughout the country. You do coaching, crisis management, public relations, promotions for large and mid-sized companies, as well as state agencies and organizations. And, you know, people may see you a lot of times on KSTP or Care 11 or Channel 4, may see your quotes in USA Today, because people come to you when they want answers to questions about marketing or promotions, or if somebody handled a situation wrong in the public. And then you give your expertise and your advice. And so if USA Today gonna use you, me too, girl, because here's something that I just don't understand. So it used to be that Super Bowl commercials, and the Super Bowl's tomorrow, they were under lock and key. They were top secret. The actors, the writers, everybody had to sign NDAs so that they wouldn't talk about it. They couldn't even tell you what was coming up. You know, somebody's having an elaborate Super Bowl party and you don't know why because they never like football. And then you watch it and you realize, oh, they're on a commercial, you know, and the whole house is celebrating, right? And so it was always this big secret until the day of the Super Bowl. And now they're leaking Super Bowl commercials on Threads. Like, there's a Cheeto commercial where the black people are sitting around at the barbershop and the barber's cutting the guy's hair. And he's got Cheeto dust on his finger. And the customer sitting in the barber chair puts the barber's finger in his mouth and licks the Cheeto dust off. And then they throw him out of the barbershop. And everybody on social media is talking about how great the commercial is. And they're laughing. And then you say, they say, it's a Super Bowl commercial. Christy, what happened? Why? How did the Super Bowl commercials go from being top secret to all of a sudden they're showing them to you a week, sometimes 2 weeks in advance?
Brilliant marketing, and the world has shifted. So what we know about consumers in general is that they're consuming more content online than they used to, you know, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, when families would sit around and, you know, quiet, the news is on, quiet, our show is on. And now people expect to see things streaming and they expect to be able to watch things more than one time. So brands have taken advantage of this. So it's $7 million for 30 seconds during the Super Bowl. Brands are more than happy to pay that. But if they can get people talking about their ads weeks in advance, Doritos started their campaign in the fall. And you, Shaletta, just proved the point because you just told me all about an ad and described it before it even is actually going to air, which that means that that ad was effective. You were the target audience. It resonated with you. And Cheetos just got free advertising on your show just because you remember and talked about their ad. So well done, Cheetos.
Okay, is that something that everybody's doing, and is it just because of our online consumption that's causing it? Is it a race to get the commercial out first? Does competition play a role in that?
I think every brand is making decisions based on their overall brand strategy and what resonates. So some brands are, we haven't seen their commercials yet because they are going to take advantage of waiting until tomorrow. And they're going to put it out, and then they might play it, you know, for the next month. They might have an ongoing social media strategy or influencer strategy afterwards. But what these brands are doing is exactly what we tell our clients to do, which is take a multi-platform, multi-pronged approach. A lot of consumers are consuming content in different ways. Some people prefer one platform, some people prefer another. So it's really important for thought leaders and executives and brands to be thinking about more than one approach to ensure that their content is resonating with the right audience.
Okay, how can companies keep up? I know people come to you and they have got to be exhausted as they want to promote one thing or the other, because some of the consumers may be on social, some of them may be on TV, some of them may be on radio. And when you start talking about the Super Bowl commercial, you're not just airing it on the Super Bowl. It used to be that you finished a commercial, you paid for your ad buy, you turned in your assets to Fox, and they placed it wherever it was going to be placed, and then you sit back home and watch it, and you can no longer do that. You got to be live tweeting and live threading while the commercial is playing. You got to get the actors who are in the commercial. You got to be tagging and putting the QR code up for the product. I mean, girl, what the hell? How can companies in this day and age keep up? Because there's no, you got to keep feeding that train because it is moving and it does not stop.
You're totally right. And most companies don't have the advertising or PR budget of Doritos. And they don't have the ability to hire Patrick Mahomes or a Manning brother to come be part of their strategy. But what brands can do, and the lesson that they can learn from all of this, is to make sure that they're working with experts who have very specific expertise in specific platform. So for example, you no longer can just hire one person to do all of your social media and all of your media and all of your blog writing and all of your videos. I mean, those days are gone because it's impossible for one person to understand all of those different nuances, especially when the world is changing so quickly, which is why, and I'm not just saying this because I own Media Mindfield and I love what we do and I have the best people ever, it is the best approach to get specific experts who know exactly what they're doing. They stay on top of their specific, the thing that they are passionate about, the thing that they can't wait to see what the trends are doing, and to put it together approaches that embody many different experts working together on a really solid brand strategy. And the thing that a lot of people miss, get your executives involved. LinkedIn is a very powerful platform, and it's a place for executives and leaders to make an impact and to help that brand strategy. So again, back to the get specialists and put them together. It's like what any, you know, good healthcare organization, any good healthcare team does. All right, we got this kind of expert, we got this kind of expert, and we're going to all work together for the best possible outcome.
Okay, you got to tell folks, because folks are tweeting me and texting me and sending me messages, and they want to know how they can reach you. And I'm like, y'all, I'm trying to talk to the lady. Hold on. They think that we all sitting in the living room. We are not. I'm actually at work, y'all. Okay, so how can folks get in touch with you at Media Mindfield to hire you to do any number of those things? Because, like I said, there's nobody better in town at getting this done, helping companies to level up with regard to their brand and marketing, and the way we used to do business is not, in 5 years ago, hell, 5 months ago, is not the way that we do business now. Threads and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and Blue Skies on the scene now, and you know, who knows when we wake up tomorrow what new social media platform will be out there.
Or we'll be gone. I mean, TikTok had, you know, a weekend, right? No, Media Mindfield is the name of the company. You can Google it. You can go to our website. My name is Christy Peel, and go to any of my social media platforms, and you can feel free to DM me, follow me. We're regularly putting out different, you know, thought leadership, trend updates, those sorts of things. And Media Mindfield's on all the different social platforms as well, and our team is regularly putting out updates to keep people informed. And we have a newsletter that is coming out monthly that's providing the most up-to-date tips and trends, and you can sign up for that on our website as well.
Well, I thank you for being here. Know that we are praying for you and your son. And please, in a couple of months, when you all have your plan together and you want to get the word out about whatever you are doing to help people who have cancer, specifically and especially like the kind that your son Alex is dealing with right now and being healed from right now, you have a place here, my friend.
Thank you. You know, I'll be back. I appreciate your prayers and I appreciate you, my friend.
All right. Love you. And you all stick around. It's 1:35. We've got weather coming up next. It is 1:40. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Let me just tell you this. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of money flying out of our communities. Tourism dollars that we could be taking advantage of and capitalizing on, that we have just tied our own hands behind our back, put a blindfold on and said, I can't figure it out. I can't see what to do with the situation. Listen, after Mr. Floyd was murdered, I was out at George Floyd Square probably two or three times a week, whether I was working for WCCO Radio, doing something for my podcast network, or just out there with my family, handing out free children's books to people who came to the square and talking to strangers. And I met people from Hong Kong, Singapore, Mexico, Thailand, Bangkok, France. I have been interviewed by I don't know how many different foreign news stations and translated into how many languages just from news outlets across the world who come to Minneapolis to visit the place where George Floyd was killed. That was not just a moment in time. That was a movement and the birthplace of the modern day civil rights movement. And to go back there now, all these 5 years later, and see that no progress or change has happened there. The brothers are still behind the cup foods, shooting dice and drinking. There are no good memorials where people can come and stay and sit on a bench. And there are no hotels there for the people who travel here to see that area. There are no restaurants built up in that community. There's nothing to memorialize the movement that took place right here in Minneapolis. I have long said that similar to the Lorraine Motel, where Dr. King died, where they froze that moment in time. And that hotel looks just like the place did when Dr. King was murdered. People take trips there, field trips. People come from all over the world to see that historic place. And that community is thriving because of it. And I've heard the argument, well, we don't want to profit off of the death of a Black man. This is not profit. This is prosperity, possibility, and opportunity to make that spot in Minneapolis a destination for the world. Because guess what? They're coming anyway. But we're not giving them anything to see when they do, except a place where a man died and then they leave. And they go to the Mall of America. Instead of staying right there in the community, taking a tour, staying at a hotel, dining at a restaurant, picking up something to remember that historic and fateful day. And so I was just incensed when I found out yet again, the Minneapolis City Council has not made a decision about what to do with that area. Whew. And I was on Chad Hartman's show talking about it, upset about it. So was Chad. And Councilman Michael Rainville called in. And I was so glad that he did. One of my favorite things that he said yesterday when we were talking during Feisty Friday was, I agree with Shaletta. And anybody who says, I agree with Shaletta, has got to come on Shaletta's show. So he is joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Councilman Michael, thank you so much for being here on a Saturday. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, Shaletta, and what a pleasure to talk to you.
Okay, now tell me what happened, because, you know, Chad cut us off. He gave us like 18 seconds to talk. You guys had an opportunity to do something at George Floyd Square, to make some type of decision. Give me the whole rundown.
Okay, so going back for many years, under the leadership of Councilwoman Andrea Jenkins, who represents half of George Floyd Square. Hers half is in the 8th Ward. The other side of Chicago is the 9th Ward, and that's Councilmember Jason Chavez. But under her leadership, our staff has done community engagement after community engagement with the residents, with the businesses. Overwhelmingly, they want to redo both Chicago and 30th to allow traffic to go through, but yet have the ability to turn it into a pedestrian plaza. So as you said, when there's events there, groups of people are coming, we can shut that down and have a very safe place for people to engage in that thoughtful process of social justice and civil rights. But that effort by our staff to start planning that was voted down this last week by the younger council members led by Councilmember Chavez.
Okay, what's really going on? You got to give me the lowdown, because what I'm seeing, and this is what's frustrating for me, is that we're not valuing and respecting wisdom. It seems as if Andrea Jenkins is there. She has the heartbeat and the pulse of the community, the experience on the council and in community doing the work. And it doesn't seem like anybody is valuing her expertise and opinion.
Shaletta, you couldn't have said any better. She is a very, very wise person, seasoned, and her thoughts, the message she's carrying from our community, are not being valued. They're being discounted and thrown away by far too many members on that city council. You had said yesterday, the whole reason I called is I heard you say, when you're a leader, you can't be afraid to make a decision, mm-hmm. and that's what's going on. They're afraid to make a decision.
And, you know, I said it yesterday. I'm going to say it again. I remember Dave Chappelle back during the glory days of the Chappelle Show. He had a skit called When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong. And this is what happens when keeping it Minnesota nice goes wrong. At some point, my grandmother used to say, you got to pee or get off the pot. You can't just sit there, get up and let somebody else pee. Because there's a decision that needs to be made. It has been 5 years. We should have been called the Smithsonian and made this a part of some kind of national monument, national landmark, the National Civil Rights Museum at Cup Foods or in Minneapolis or at George Floyd Square. We have done nothing to progress and make this place a destination. And tourists are coming anyway. That community is specifically in need of jobs. It's specifically in need of new businesses. It's specifically in need of infrastructure. And we have the best opportunity to do that, and we're not doing anything.
You are so right, and I can't tell you how right you are. You know, so again, Councilmember Jenkins has led the effort. We, the citizens, the taxpayers of Minneapolis, own the gas station across the street that's just sitting there as wasted space.
Ain't no gas. Look, we call it a, we need to stop, because anybody who hadn't been there needs to understand. It's a gas station there, but they ain't got no gas. It's just a spot, really, with some tanks, but there's nothing in the tanks. So it's not even functional.
But when you talk about opportunity and potential to bring economic resources into that community, we own the land and we own the streets, but we're not making the decision to utilize that for the benefit of the businesses and the residents and the larger community here in Minneapolis and Minnesota.
Okay, so you got to tell me, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, what's next? You got to tell me what's next, because there's no way that we're going to table this again after 5 years, not have a good plan. We can't do another damn focus group. We can't do another study. We can't go out there and walk one more time, shake any more hands, and talk to anybody. We've had enough town halls. We don't need another one. We need to make a decision. We need to move forward and figure out what do we do with this historic landmark that we are sitting on a gold mine for that community, and we're not doing anything with it. More with City Councilman Michael Rainville when we come back. It is 1:51. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, continuing our conversation with Minneapolis City Councilman Michael Rainville, joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, having the discussion about what to do about George Floyd Square. It should truly be a part of the National Civil Rights Museum, similar to the Lorain Motel, where Dr. King was assassinated on April 4th. And Memphis just celebrated 56 years, just last year, 56 years. All over the country, people came to the Lorain Motel in Memphis to honor Dr. King. It is part of the National Civil Rights Museum. That should be the same for George Floyd Square. The tourists are coming anyway. Minneapolis City Council is too darn scared to do anything. Get up, make a decision, piss some people off, make some folk happy, but do something with that historic piece of land so that when people, tourists from across the country, come to honor the place of the new modern day civil rights movement and where it all started, they'll have something. Somewhere they can go where they feel like they're a part of what happened and be a part of our fair city. And so far we got nothing. And then this week, the Minneapolis City Council tabled 5 years after this man has died the idea of doing something. And so I have to ask you, Councilman Rainville, what is next?
Well, thank you. So what is next is, first of all, you have to remember not all city council members are afraid to make decisions. So myself, and I want to introduce you to council member Latricia Vita, because she is a leader in the same ilk as you are. I think the three of us should sit down and talk about your fabulous idea, which is to take a tour of the Memphis Lorain Motel with the other city council members so they can see for themselves. They can see how successful a national civil rights monument would be in that location.
Okay, do you think that some people are scared of success? What are they scared of? This is what I don't understand. Are they scared that they're going to make the wrong decision and fail? Are they afraid of success? Are they afraid of pissing off the voters? What in the hell are they so scared of that has them so paralyzed that they can't move and make any decision?
So this is what my opinion is, and I think I'm pretty close to the truth. In our business as a politician, there's always someone that disagrees with your decision. You know, that 15-20%. And unfortunately, on this issue, they are the loudest voices. And so it is my belief that those younger council members, in their lack of life experience, they want to please everybody. Well, you can't please everybody. You have to make a decision. And we should not listen to the loudest voices, but listen to the smartest voices. Listen to the wisdom of council member Andrea Jenkins, the wisdom of the business community around there, and the wisdom of the residents. Let's do what they want, which is to redo that street and make sure that you can close it down and have a pedestrian mall when the time is right. But the rest of the time, it's open to traffic. And then develop that empty gas station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a memorial shop. That is a memorabilia shop. That is a hotel. That is a restaurant. That is something other than nothing. Because right now, we got nothing. Yep. We got absolutely nothing. And I'm thinking, you know, we open that thing up, we get in there and we build that infrastructure. We build those hotels. We freeze up that Cup Foods to just the way it was when George Floyd died. We put some statues and some memorials there that people can really see, just like they have at the Lorraine Motel, just like they have in Montgomery, Alabama, where they have the bus and they have the statue of Rosa Parks sitting on the bus just the way it happened when she was arrested and the boycott began that ended segregated buses in the South. People, presidents, world leaders come and they celebrate there. They give speeches there. They, you know, have meetings there. They take tours there. This is a game changer and puts our city, puts Minneapolis on the world stage again. You know, we were there because George Floyd was murdered. So that was not a place we wanted to be for that, right? That was something that was out of our control. But this time we can control it.
Right. We can take lemons and make lemonade. We can do this, and you have the leadership ability to do it. So I really look forward to sitting down with you. And by the way, I did call up Councilmember Vital last night, and she's on board 100%.
Yes. Yes, we're going to take us a field trip. Let me give me some babysitting arranged. We're going to go to Memphis. We're going to hang out at the Lorraine Hotel. We're going to talk to the people there at the National Civil Rights Museum who are stationed there. Talk to some of the businesses in that area, because I just believe sometimes people need to see it to believe it, you know, and sometimes you can't be what you can't see. And maybe they just need to see it.
Right, right. You're on the right track, and I think we got a good plan going forward here, Shaletta.
I think so. I think we're about to make something happen. I'm excited. I'm optimistic. I'm also excited about the next hour of the Shaletta Show coming up. Y'all stick around.